Lord. You know every individual, Lord, in this place. I pray, God, that you would have your way, Lord, that your light will shine upon us. God, that you would give us grace, O Lord. Amen. Minister to the needs that are represented, Lord, in every family, Lord, every person, God, every household, Lord. We look to you, Lord. We thank you, Father, for your goodness, Lord, for your faithfulness, God, for your mercies, for your grace, for your loving kindness, O Lord. We pray, God, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us in this place, O Lord. Amen. Draw us together, Lord, that we can be, O Father, amen, in one mind, Lord, in one spirit, in one place together, Lord, in one accord, O Father, as a body, O Lord, as your body, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would pour out your Spirit upon us, O God, and quicken us, O Lord. Amen, Lord, our hearts, our minds, our spirits, Lord, that we can receive, Father, with meekness, O Lord, your engrafted word, which is able to save us, O Lord. Open up our ears that we may hear, O Lord, and our eyes that we may see, O God. Amen, Lord, in our hearts that we can be turned unto you, Lord. I pray, Lord, bless, O Father, our gathering this day in this place, O Lord. Amen, God, and let your Spirit, Lord, fall upon us. Amen. We ask this, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Let it be done, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. And everybody say amen.
Amen.
Amen. You may be dismissed into your classrooms.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Good to see everybody else.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to turn your attention to the book of Matthew. We'll start two places. I guess we'll start in Matthew 7, and then from there we'll be going to Matthew 11, chapter 7 and chapter 11. Praise God. And if you have it, say amen.
Amen.
Verse number 13 says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." Amen. Amen. We read that, and we look at what Jesus is speaking here, and just to put it all together, just to get a picture, let's go to Matthew chapter 11. And verse number 12. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force." I'll read it again. "And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force." Praise God. So here we see two very, I would say, profound passages of Scripture. Of course, we're talking about the kingdom of heaven and entering in to the kingdom of heaven. How many of you understand this and realize this from the day that you've come to know the Lord, when you have heard the gospel and you obeyed it, you humbled yourself to it, you did what the word instructed you, and amen. From that point on, it just seems like
certain things that take place and certain activities that surround us as far as our, amen, our life is concerned. And I'm not just talking about what we experience in the natural world, but what goes on in the spiritual worlds. Amen. We come to an understanding as we grow in knowledge, as we grow in faith. Simply put, if we want to be saved, praise God, there's obviously, amen, some effort that has to be made as far as our salvation is concerned. And we understand that from the scripture verses that we just read. It would be just, I guess, surreal in a sense that once we come to the knowledge of the truth and once we come to the Lord Jesus Christ, everything will just be, you know, just, how could I say it? We live in a perfect world. But we all know that that's not the truth. That's not the reality of what you and I have. Praise God. Amen. The devil doesn't want to give us a break. And he had us, amen, bound. He had us deceived, amen, from the time that we were born up until the time that we heard the truth. And he was satisfied where we were during all those years. He was satisfied that we did not know the truth. We did not know anything about even God. And so he was pretty, I guess you can say, content with where we were spiritually. But now that the gospel has come, and we're going to see that by looking at these two scripture verses. Now that the gospel has come, things have changed. Things have changed. If you want to be saved, you've got to really want to be saved.
Right. Amen.
It's not going to come just because it's wishful thinking on your part.
Right.
Because there's a lot to what you and I have right now. Praise God, because we have come to the knowledge of the truth. That light has shined, and that light has revealed, and that light has revealed, amen, the darkness. So because we come to the understanding, we know what it's all about right now. Praise God. We know what it's all about. So, and as Paul said, to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling.
Yes.
To work it out. Praise God. To do everything that we can possibly do to ensure, or as Peter said, to make our calling and election sure.
Amen.
Praise God. Amen. We can't just sit back.
Right.
That's and right. Expect everything to fall into its place.
That's right.
Doesn't happen that way. Yeah. Amen. So we see that. And we see here, when Jesus was talking about, enter ye in at the straight gate. Enter in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Look at the contrast. Let me tell you something. Right now, whether you realize this or not, there's a lot of souls that are going to a devil's hell.
That's right. Amen.
And you notice how easy it is for them to do that?
Yes. Yes.
You don't really have to put too much effort into it.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of souls that are, and that's what he said, wide is the gate and broad is the way, which obviously means there's room for everybody that wants to go there. There's room for everybody that wants to go there. Praise God. There's no, let me put it this way, there's no resistance for you to go to hell.
Right. Right.
And what did Isaiah said? Hell hath enlarged herself.
Right.
And she grows as all the souls that are ferried down, praise God, through death, into that abyss, into that darkness, praise God, how it grows and expands, praise God. So you can see how easy it is for people just to, I always remember when I was, when I turned 18 years old, my sisters bought me a plaque, and the plaque said this. It said, "Sin now, pay later."
Wow.
It was just kind of something just to, because I guess that was the kind of person I was, I guess. Mm. Sin now and pay later. And that's just the way it is. We don't realize there's a consequence.
Right.
There's a consequence of living in sin.
Yes. Mm. Amen.
Your actions, everything about it, there's a consequence. And let me remind you, there's nothing good about it. Praise God. Because when we live in that, when we live in the domain of sin, we can look forward to, amen, the end result is death. We know that. Death. Spiritual death, physical death. And if we don't straighten our lives out, it's going to be eternal death. So, but there's nothing good about living in sin. We all know that, don't we?
Yes.
We all suffer the effects of sin when it's come back and, praise God, it's obviously made things not good for us. And so we see that. So we see the contrast. Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. I like the way it says this, because he's making a comparison. He's talking about the wide gate. The wide gate, then he talks about the narrow gate. He talks about, look what he says, because he wants us to see the contrast, the comparison, because he's admonishing us to enter in at the straight gate. Why? Because look at the wide gate and the broad way. And look where it leads to. So he says, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way that which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. That opportunity that is given to you and I to find eternal life.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God.
Amen.
We ought to be thankful.
Yes.
We've come to a place where we can understand that. And let me remind you, there's more to life than there's more to life than what we're living in right now.
Right. Right. That's right.
This is just temporal.
That's right.
We're living a temporal life right now. Now, beyond this, there is eternal life. Mm-hmm. And eternal life, praise God, either eternal life with the Lord or eternity in the devil's hell. Let me remind you that God never created hell for mankind.
That's right.
He created it for the devil and his angels.
That's right.
He never created it for us, but because of the way sin came and sin was passed on, guess what? If we follow the influence of Satan. If we follow his influence, we're heading in that same place that he is, amen, he is heading. That appointed place for him. Praise God. So I want you to understand it so we can see the comparison. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. There's only going to be a few that are going to find it.
Right.
If I understand Jesus' words right.
Amen.
Praise God. That's why Paul said that he's willing not that any man should perish, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth.
Right.
He's not willing that any man should perish. He's not willing that anybody die lost, but that all would come to the knowledge of the truth. You think about that. God's not willing for any man to perish. He's not willing for you and I to perish, but that we could come to the knowledge of the truth. So I want you to understand that. Praise God. If you don't think that God cares, he does care. And he's making an attempt to reach into your life to intervene into your life. So let's go on with it. Let's go on. Because straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leadeth to life. Few there be that find it. So when he says straight is the gate, straight. The Greek word for straight is the Greek word stenos. And stenos means this. It's a narrow passage. It's a narrow passage. What a comparison to the wide gate.
Right.
And the broad way. It's a narrow passage with obstacles. Wow. A narrow passage with obstacles. Standing close about it. In other words, praise God. To be able to enter into eternal life, we're going to face certain things that are around that place, that straight gate. It's almost like, you know, it talks about, the word is this, it also means this, it's restricted. It's a restriction. When I say it's a restriction, it's like, here's the broad gate, here's the wide gate. And so when it said it's restricted, it means it goes down from this, it goes down to this. So you can see the comparison. You can see the comparison of the two. Praise God. So this is really important because, amen, we need to understand about, you know, being a child of God and being called, amen, to eternal life. Amen. We need to realize and understand that it's going to take some, amen, obviously motivation on our part and obviously some want to be able to ensure our salvation and to ensure eternal life. So we see that it's a narrow passage with obstacles standing close about it. So there's going to be in so many ways some things that you and I are going to encounter. So that's the reason why when you think about it, what we're reading here in Matthew chapter 7 is pretty much in close proximity to what Jesus is talking about here in Matthew chapter 11, when he's talking about, and from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. So when we're talking about entrance into the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. In other words, we're getting a picture of that area and what it is for us to enter into eternal life. When he told us in chapter 7 to enter into the straight gate, that was his admonition. Enter ye in the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. Many there be that go there, because straight is the gate, narrow is the way that leadeth to life, and few there be that find it. But guess what? This area that he's talking about, we can understand this. When we're called into the kingdom of heaven, as he's speaking there in Matthew 11, in verse 12, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Now, I want to, I guess, in a sense, amen, bring some understanding. When it talks about, when we talk about coming to the Lord, and we talk about salvation, amen. When we really see what's happening as far as that process is concerned, and what is taking place, I want you to understand something. And we could probably all attest to this. We could probably all agree to it because it's something that is true. None of us, neither of us, were ever seeking God.
Right.
We weren't really seeking God. We were out doing our own thing. We were all busy engaged in our own life and living the way we wanted to live. None of us were seeking God.
Nope.
Nobody was seeking Him, as the Apostle Paul said. None was seeking Him. Our hearts, our mind, our thoughts were far away from God. So what happened? Intervention. God intervened into our lives. He came into our lives. We weren't looking for Him, but He was looking for us. So He intervened into our lives. So as a result of His intervening into our lives, here comes the kingdom of heaven. And so we see this. The kingdom of heaven comes. And so when Jesus was talking about this, He said, the kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. So when He's speaking about that, there had to be, amen, a process. A process where God came into our lives and God literally disturbed it. How many of you agree with that?
Yeah. Yep. Amen.
He literally disturbed everything that was going on.
Amen.
Amen. I heard people say this. I don't know how many times I've heard people. Ever since I come to the Lord, it just seems like there's nothing but trouble. Anybody ever hear that?
Yep.
It just seems like things have gotten worse.
Yeah. Yep.
Wow.
I never had this, you know, all these troubles and all these trials, but since I come to the Lord, it just seems like everything's just happening. Are you familiar with that?
Yes. Yep. Amen.
Disturbance. Why is that? Let me tell you something. There is a confrontation that is going on that you and I really, maybe we're not aware of. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about a physical confrontation. Right. I'm talking about a spiritual confrontation.
Mm-hmm.
So our world is disturbed because there is a battle raging for our soul.
Right.
So when the kingdom of heaven comes, guess what? There's going to be violence.
Yes. Right. Amen.
Ooh, you know why? Because the devil don't want to let you go.
Yeah. Right.
He's not going to give up on you just that easy.
Yeah. Right. Amen.
Do you agree with that?
Yes. Amen.
Those are the things that happen. So we see that. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. The meaning of the Greek in this passage for violence allows for dual interpretation. In other words, there's two ways. There's two ways of interpreting this passage when we take a look at it. And we're talking about Matthew 11:12. Amen. Amen. Where he talks about suffered violence and the violent take it by force. So there's a dual interpretation. First of all, it means this. The kingdom of heaven forces its way in. My. The second meaning is this. It is vigorously pressing forward. So it forces its way in, so as a result, it vigorously presses its way forward. In other words, guess what? God is going to lead you only in one direction. Does anybody, you know, we talk about salvation as, the steps of salvation. We all know that, don't we? Repentance, water baptism in Jesus' name, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that process of salvation. It's progressive. We go along. Even from that point on, once we've been washed in the blood and our sins have been remitted, we go on. It's a point of progression that grows. And as we go on, guess what? But it gets progressive. There's some things that are ongoing as we start to walk with God. But we find this out. Man, guess what the devil's going to do? He's not going to let up on you. He's going to bear down and he's going to do everything he can to try to get you to stop the process. of salvation in your life, to resist you, praise God, to impede all your efforts. He's going to make it hard. And amen. The only reason why you never suffered before, because you were in the place that he wanted you to be. But now that you come to the knowledge of the truth, guess what he's going to do? He's going to turn it on. He's going to turn it on, and he's going to attempt to make it more difficult for you to live for God. Woo. You ever wonder why temptations come? Ever wonder why trials come? Adversity, all those things. So it's forcing its way in. It's forcing its way in. In other words, guess what? I like that when we say about the Lord coming into our lives, he intervened.
Right.
Amen. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He intervened. Amen. Forcing its way in. Or has been vigorously pressing forward. I like what the Berkeley's translation reads about this passage of scripture. Berkeley's translation says this, when he's talking about this passage of scripture we're talking about, it has been rushed. So the movement of God, the kingdom of God into our lives, it has been rushed. In other words, he's making sure. It's moving quickly. Weymouth, his translation is this, has been enduring violent assault. Now remember, that can go both ways. It has been enduring violent assault. Murdoch says this, is assailed by force. In other words, guess what? Praise God. You ever wonder why the Apostle Paul said this in 1 Timothy chapter 6, I believe it is, where he talks about, he said, I have fought the good fight of faith. Mm-hmm. And I'm holding on to eternal life. Guess what? It's a battle.
Right.
It's a battle that you and I fight every day, don't we?
Yes.
Devil doesn't want to give up. Sometimes our flesh doesn't want to either.
That's right.
Our flesh is the thing that always seems to give us a hard time, because it wants us to do the things that aren't, you know, pleasing to God. So we see that. So as a result, but here's what happens. Here's what happens. I was reading in the scripture, and I read that passage to you, I think it was a week ago or so, but in 1 John chapter 1, where it talks, if you go there, 1 John chapter 1, the epistle of John chapter 1, look what it says here, and just look at what the apostle John, and look at how he's writing this. I always thought about this. When you look at it, when you look at the way he's writing this, he's making a statement here, and he's saying this, that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. Remember, look what he said. That which was from the beginning. He's talking about Jesus. Mm-hmm. Jesus coming. Mm-hmm. That life. His life being manifested. The Son of God coming. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes. They heard it. They seen it. And our hands have handled, look what he says, of the word of life. Now, he's not just talking about life like you and I know it. Yeah. Our life. He's talking about eternal life.
Right.
He's talking about that life that was manifest, where the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. How was it manifested? Through Jesus Christ. It became real. But look what happened. Look what happened. Heaven came on the scene, intervened, and was manifested. And guess what they witnessed? They witnessed unbelievable things.
Right.
Amen. They witnessed, now as one writer says, listen to this. It's beautiful. They witnessed the intrusion of heaven.
There you go. Amen.
In other words, God just boom.
Right.
So as a result, guess what? There was obviously spiritual confrontation that was going on. Because that life is so real. And so here we see this. The kingdom of heaven suffereth violence. Here it comes. Remember, we're talking about that narrow, that the straight gate. We're talking about it. Guess what? What did we find out about the straight gate? That there's some obstacles that are there. You can't just enter. You know what that? You know what that scripture reminds me of? I used to run cross country, and at the end of the course, however long the course was, cross country, the finish line, obviously there's a finish line there, but in order for you to make it to the finish line, go through the finish line, at the end of that, of the course, they put this, probably they call it the chute. The finish line was right there, but there was a chute that was probably no wider than this. So when you cross the finish line, you had to run through that chute. Everybody that was trying to get first place, if you entered that, if you were side by side with somebody, guess what? One of you would have to move in order for you to fit in that little chute to go through there. Boom.
Right.
Because it was narrow. And everybody was competing to get there first because it's narrow. Why? Because it wasn't wide enough for everybody.
Right. Right.
Woo! Yeah. Did you realize that's the way it is for us, our salvation?
Amen.
We're in competition. Not with each other.
Right.
Right.
That's right. Amen.
With the enemy, with the adversary. You know why? He doesn't want you to make it to heaven.
Right.
Right.
He wants to do everything he can to stop you.
Right.
Why is it we battle so much just to pray?
Yeah.
Why is it we battle so much just to read the Bible?
Right.
Why is it we battle so much just to come to church? If it was that easy, it just seemed like you would just be happy and come.
Yeah. Yeah. Right. Amen.
But there's some things that are there, that some obstacles that you and I encounter. Are you getting my drift?
Yeah. Yes. Amen.
That we encounter. So he talks about that. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. Now listen to this. Violence. It's, you know what it says? Violating. Now remember I said this definition is dual. Violating. Does anybody know what that means to be violated?
Taken advantage of, overpowered.
Taken overpowered.
Yeah.
Praise God. Nobody likes to be violated.
Nope.
Huh?
Nope.
So he means, so he says that. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence. It's violating. But here's the thing. Taking back by force. Taking back by force. Why is that? So when we take a look at that, taking back by force. He came into our lives. And obviously, he had set us free from the power of sin and Satan. But when he did it by force. He did it by force. I'd love to go into that, but I'll save that for another time. Maybe I'll preach about it a little bit this afternoon. But when we talk about it, taking it by force, the violent or Here's the other words. The violators or forcers are violating. Praise God. So what does that mean? The kingdom of heaven suffered violence and the violent take it by force. We come back and we, praise God, do what we need to do to ensure that we can enter the kingdom. Is that understandable?
Amen.
So what happens? I want you to understand this. Because when the Bible talks about the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, you know what that means? It does obviously mean that intrusion. It comes in such a way that we use that word force. It forces its way into our lives. So when it enforces our way into our lives, you know what happens? This is beautiful. This is what takes place. It violates structures of time, because that's what it means here in this passage. The word chronos, the Greek word for time. So when it comes, guess what? It breaks into our environment, our world. Praise God. And it just disrupts everything. Ooh. Now, where we could probably come to an understanding of that is, why is it so hard just to simply do the will of God?
Wow.
Right. Amen.
Amen. We all struggle with that.
Yep. Amen.
Doing the will of God. You know what? It's violating. It's coming in. It's entering to that our world, our chronos, our time. Everything about us, our physical, human structure, our life is of time. By entering them with the good news, with the gospel. So here it is. It's coming in and it's affecting. How many of you have realized that your life hasn't been affected since you heard about Jesus Christ? In so many ways. Good. Obviously, he wants to bring good. But when we try to pursue good, when we try to follow up on him, guess what happens? The devil gets mad. So he wants to interrupt. So I said, remember I said it goes both ways? Mm-hmm. Praise God. So here it is. It violates the bondages of time in cultures of darkness and traditions of spiritual bondage. Whew. What does that mean? Everything about who we are. When the kingdom of heaven comes in, it makes that entrance into our lives where everything that we've ever known in our life and who we are, amen, our ethnicity, our background, our culture, guess what? It interrupts that.
Mm-hmm. Right. Amen.
All our beliefs, yep. All our traditions, all our philosophies, it interrupts
amen.
That. Right. Praise God.
Amen.
It's how can I say? It's radical.
There you go. Amen. Amen.
Woo! Just kind of.
Amen.
What is it? we're trying to figure it out. What is it? And all the Lord is trying to do is break down those powers, those rulers, those dominions that you and I were so used to living under all the time that we lived in sin.
Right. Amen.
So it's forceful. Mm-hmm. It's wonder, you ever hear people say this when they talk about living, being a Christian? You know, and you can tell it's probably the negative effect that the gospel gives to them, because they say, why do I have to give that up?
Right.
You ever hear people make that statement? Why do I have to give that up? Wow. It's not just so much you giving it up. It's being set free from it.
Right. Right. Amen. Right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
I used to be bound in alcohol and drugs and a host of other sins. Yep. I used to be that way, but here comes the kingdom of heaven. Boom! And all of a sudden, guess what? He set me free.
Amen.
I'm free from it. But guess what? Even after that, it seemed like the devil just kind of got so mad that he said, no, you're not going to. I'm not going to let you go that easy.
Hmm? Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Are you understanding what I'm saying?
Yep.
Yes.
Amen.
Okay, so let's go on. So it violates the bondage of time and cultures of darkness and traditions of spiritual bondage. That's what that word means. Now, here's the other part of it. Liberating individuals from the bondage of sin. Ooh. It's something. If you let the Lord work in your life, guess what He's going to do? He's going to deliver you. He's going to deliver you from sin. That's the whole reason why He died. He died. He died for our sin. So obviously what is going to happen, the work of salvation in our life, the process of salvation, is to liberate us from the bondage of sin. Praise God. That's what He's doing. He's still doing that even today. Praise God. So we need to understand that. This violation is not gentle. It includes assault, attack, violate. It's forceful. It forces its way. Forceful entry and overthrowing. That's what you and I think when we talk about that, we can understand it, because it just seems like to some, it seems like it's a battle every day. Here's the thing. Does anybody remember what happened? Let's go there. Just to kind of give you a brief picture. The writer of Hebrews talks about this in Hebrews chapter 12. Look what happened when the kingdom of heaven came to earth. Hebrews chapter 12. I just want to use this as an example. The people of Israel left Egypt. Moses led them to the backside of Mount Sinai. And then here comes the Lord. So you see this in verse number 18 here. He says this, "For you're not come unto the mount that might be touched and that burned with fire, nor unto blackness and darkness and tempest." Now he's talking about the Lord when he descended on Mount Sinai. Everything that the Israelites seen when he descended. Then he says, "And the sound of a trumpet and voice of words, which voice they that heard entreated that the word should not be spoken to them any more." So here we see the kingdom of heaven descending on Mount Sinai. Guess what happens? We see that. So his descending on Mount Sinai, guess what? There was really nothing peaceful about it, was it? There was, what did he say? There was thundering, there was blackness, there was darkness, there was a tempest. So in other words, everything was violent. The kingdom of heaven coming into this world, this economy, it was violent. That's how they perceived it. It shook up their world. So that's the way the kingdom of heaven comes in. When it comes in, it shakes up our world. So we see this in verse number 22. Look what it says. But ye are come unto Mount Zion and unto the city of the living God, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to an innumerable company of angels, to the general assembly and church of the firstborn, which are written in heaven, and to God, the judge of all, and to the spirits of judgment. So that's what we've come to. We've come to the church. We've come to the church. Ever wonder why it is when God moves? Guess what? It gets pretty violent in here, doesn't it? Yeah. Spiritually speaking,
right. Amen.
People come in here and they wonder, what in the world?
Right. Amen.
they get slapped with the reality,
yes,
of the kingdom of heaven.
Yes. Amen.
Man, I don't know if I could.
Amen.
That's how real it is.
Yep.
It will disturb you. It will disturb your world. And see, that's what happens. I think about what Jesus said. Go with me to the book of, back to Matthew chapter 10. And look what he says here in verse number 34. In chapter 10 of Matthew 34. Think now that I am come to send peace on the earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foe shall be they of his own household. That's how much it will just kind of shake things up. That's how real it is. You know, when I was younger and I didn't really like a lot of young ministers do. Their experience in the ministry is usually, you know, they have, I guess it's a tradition in ministry, but I never really experienced that way. Ministers that, you know, are developing in their ability to minister the word of God, usually what happens is, and that's just the tradition amongst apostolic Pentecostals, they'll say, well, you know, he's called to preach and he'll go out preaching. So the first office that these ministers will occupy is the office of an evangelist. Go out there and they say, wow, the whole purpose is so that he can basically gain experience preaching to the body. So that's their, you know, that's their philosophy. But you know, I never started out that way. My first experience with ministry was in the church, in the body as a teacher, and then after that as a pastor. So I came into it from a different point of view. Not from the point of view of an evangelist. I never evangelized until maybe 5 or 6 years later after being a pastor. Then I was able to evangelize. But just being in that position and ministering the word of God, I guess I was really naive in a sense that I was literally trying to reach every person I could reach. Trying to reach every person that came in with the gospel. So that, you know, they could be saved. That was my desire. That's what I wanted. I wanted everybody to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. But I found out it doesn't work that way. It's not that easy. Because you can work with individuals. You can work with them. And there's some that will come. And some that will succeed. But there's some that won't. And it was usually those that, you know, and I thought to myself, what is it? I'm doing everything I know to do to try to make sure that person stays in church. Because I believe that's what the heart of the pastor should be, is for the people of God to be able to stay in fellowship.
Right.
But it doesn't work that way. You know why? Because people have their own will.
Yes. Right.
And what they allow themselves, you know, to be subject to. I never realized this till years later that I never realized this. The only reason why it's like that is because some people, and I guarantee you, every one of us, every one of you, even to this day, we all go through our spiritual confrontation.
Yes.
We battle. The kingdom of heaven suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. Unless you really have the heart to want to be saved, you will never be saved.
Right, right.
Doesn't happen
Amen.
Like that.
Amen. That's right.
Because the devil is gonna work harder
Amen.
To resist you than when you were in sin. You know why? Because he had you where he wanted you
right.
before you came to know the Lord. So now that you're right in that place, you're in a place that there's a lot of activity going on here. I like what oh man, time goes by too fast here. Go with me to Luke chapter 13. Luke chapter 13. Verse number 23. Look at this. And look what's said here. Then said one unto him, Lord, are there few that be saved? Asked him a question. This came up. Lord, are there few that be saved? And he said unto him, look what Jesus says again. Strive. Strive to enter in at the straight gate. Strive. You see that? Strive. For many, I say unto you, will seek to enter in and shall not be able. Woo. You think about that. That's kind of, man, what's it going to take? The Greek word for strive, agonizomai. Agonizomai means to struggle. To struggle. That word is connected to that word where we read in the book of Genesis where Jacob wrestled with that angel. That struggle, we wrestle sometimes. We wrestle. We wrestle. There's that confrontation. We wrestle. To struggle. That's what he said. To struggle. To contend with an adversary. So that's the way it is. The only way that you and I can obviously be able to make it in is if we can overcome. If we can overwhelm. If we can fight. It's almost like, as the Greek says, it's almost like competing for a prize. You're competing for a prize. So if you're competing for a prize, guess what? You're going to do your best so that you can ensure. Amen. So the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Praise God. You think about that. Obviously, some people don't have... Well, some people are good brawlers in the world. If you know what I mean. Some people like to fight in the world. But what about spiritually? Yeah. What about spiritually? What about fighting the fight of faith? What about holding on to eternal life? What about spiritually? We know what it's like to contend in the flesh. We do, don't we? We've been in some, you know, quarrels and physical confrontations. We know what that's like. But what about spiritually? Do we know what it's going to take for us to be able to overcome the enemy? And that's what Paul was talking about, that we need to ensure, we need to work out our own salvation with fear and with trembling. We need to work out, and guess what? It's going to be something that you have to apply yourself. You've got to apply yourself. You can't just sit back and think it's all going to happen. Paul said, I fight as one as, I don't beat the air. I'm not just swinging and hitting empty air. He says, I keep my body under so that when I fight, he's talking about spiritually. He said, obviously, I'm going to make it count. I'm going to overcome. I'm going to win this battle. So you think about that, saints. You think about what it's going to take for you and I to be able to overcome, to fight the good fight of faith and to hold on to eternal life. Thank you very much for your time. We'll go on our break. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus.